Okay, call this meeting back to order. And our next item is the executive session, but I'm going to propose to dispose of the miscellaneous and meeting debrief first, so we can just spend as much time as we'd like in executive session. Two items that I know of that we need to deal with, address during this miscellaneous meeting debrief. One is the TNOA delegation, and I'd like to take that up first. Deputy Director Story, you want to explain your proposal?
And this is the second item, I'm sure.
And the second item is Commissioner Schmitten's blue sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Madam Chair. What I'm handing out is a copy of the decision paper, I'm not sure what to call it, that I sent you for last Friday's conference call. And it has some of the background around the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan that I spoke to yesterday. And there's a focus on the principles that are embedded in that plan around land acquisition. So just it gives you a sense of the kind of framework that this acquisition is embedded within. And again, yesterday I was asking for the commission to consider delegating authority to approve whatever form the final acquisition takes, whether it's to DNR and we have a conservation easement, or whether, as in the House, it's a direct acquisition by the state to Fish and Wildlife, for Fish and Wildlife. In either case, I've worked with Bill, the AG's office, and have some motion language on the bottom of the third page that would allow for that delegation. So if there's any other questions, I'd be happy to address those.
Thank you. We've heard about this a couple times now. Any questions? Okay. Commissioner Duvio, you want to make the motion? Oh, Commissioner Perry.
I just want to make a comment more than a question. DNR has a completely different goal for their agency than the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they do have some Fish and Wildlife and resource responsibility, but their main function is to make money for the Common School Fund, and therefore most of their employees and so forth have that kind of management background to produce money off the land, which is not bad. It's just different than Department of Fish and Wildlife's goal. And I would prefer, if at all possible, that the department have at least majority control on how that land is managed. Certainly DNR needs some input, probably be valuable on how to maybe make income from that land, because that's their expertise area. But in order for it to function, I think, as the goal of this overall Yakima Basin project, it would be better managed under Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Deputy Director Storr, comment?
Commissioner Perry, I think that comment is sort of front and center in terms of all the negotiations that have gone on, and there a lot of sensitivity by the Yakima Nation, by the conservation groups, and that sensitivity is all the groups, the irrigators, the county, they're aware of that. The director has been working closely with the Commissioner of Public Lands, Commissioner Goldmark, to address those concerns, because remember, this is a delicate balance between water supply issues and resource conservation issues. And so it's in everyone's interest that tension be lowered. So directors worked with Commissioner Goldmark. If the path is to have DNR own this land, as in the Senate budget, that would That would be all, basically, well, I won't say it that way. They would own the land, but we would have very strong control over the use of the lands via a conservation easement, that the conservation groups, as well as others, would be involved in writing. We're actually working on that sort of as we speak. And in addition to that, there would be a management plan that, again, the conservation groups would be a part of putting together. And so I think we have a strong sense that if that scenario moves forward, we'll be at least joint partners. I mean, it explicitly calls out for joint decision making and all those things. So I think we feel like we're in a pretty good spot if we go down that path.
Yeah, I've heard that before, and I think I understand it. But I did want to emphasize that it needs to be worked out in that way in order to make it, I think, the best for particularly fishers and hunters and watchers and so forth.
Commissioner Keenan was next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A quick question, but as I recall, the area that is up for purchase, whether it's WDFW or DNR, and WDFW with the conservation easement, is fairly contiguous with the Tanaway Wolf Pack, or at least it's going to be one of the first times, I think, where WDFW or through an easement has control over a big block of land that has current grazing operations that also has, you know, the wolves right there. And I'm just hopeful, and I guess the question would be that, as I read in this, that, you know, it's going to be compatible with forestry and grazing uses. And I know yet from a ranching community, what you often hear is, well, yes, we were allowed to graze, but there were so many restrictions we had to basically quit that lease. And I guess there's so many players involved in this that I know that has been considered, and I know this could be a shining example of how we make it work. Or it could be another example of where, you know, that user community of either forestry or ranching says, we just got pushed out of business. So I guess my question would be, I'm hoping that it's the first, it's the scenario where it can be a shining example of everyone comes together and we do have multiple uses and we do have wolf packs and we do have recreation and we do have grazing and forestry and, you know, if there's anything you can say to that.
Well, Commissioner Kinney, the basin plan is fundamentally based on that shining example of people working together. And part of the negotiation that the directors had with DNR and that all the participants in the plan endorse is as we manage this land, you have a lot of influence from a community group, and the community in this instance is defined as that Yakima Basin Plan leadership group, or all the entities in the Yakima Basin Plan. So, I mean, we're working towards meeting those multiple interests in a unified way.
I just wanted to add just a little bit. The delicate balance that Joe spoke of between the water and conservation benefits of these, between the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan and the Tanaway land acquisition. I mean, you're going to be inundating 1,000 acres of old growth forest. I mean, and so there has to be benefits from a conservation perspective associated with the Tanaway purchase in order for the conservation community to come to be okay with the loss of old growth forest. So I think it's important to recognize and to emphasize that the restoration and protect the restoration, I mean, there's a lot of within the 50,000 acres, it's been used pretty darn hard, and there's a lot of restoration that needs to be done. And first and foremost is the property is going to be for conservation, for restoration, and protection of important and critical habitats for fish and wildlife. That is going to mean some changes in land use in order to accomplish that. So I don't, just so we recognize that, I mean, the forestry practices alone on that piece of ground have not helped the landscape. And so there's a lot of restoration work that needs to be done.
It sounds like a mitigation trade-off.
And the other thing, I've worked really, well, maybe this is self-serving. I've worked really hard with Commissioner Goldmark because there were a lot of people that didn't want to have DNR have anything to do with this. The Community Forest Trust model that DNR was suggesting, the way it's currently written, doesn't fit. There has to be some language, some proviso language, if we're going to use that as a model to ensure that it is compatible with the agreement that a whole bunch of people have worked really hard to achieve. So we have had the conservation, Peter Dykstra, Jay Manning, Gene Duvenoy, working with Jeff Taylor, has been our lead for writing the principles, protocols on how DFW's role will be defined and cemented in the event that DNR ends up with the title, and including deed restrictions as well as conservation easements and management plan. So there's a whole lot of protections being built into this to ensure that DFW's role is primary.
Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we're all sort of on board with the overall concept. This is a good idea, and we want to see it happen. And the devil's in the details. And as we talk about contemplate delegating the authority to make the deal to you, I think it's important to have this conversation, which we are, about sort of our thoughts and perspectives and concerns as you go into the negotiation, so that you are aware of those and can negotiate well. When I look at the handout we got, the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan, Tianaway Lands Acquisition Document, on page 2, the third bullet from the top, and this is something that Commissioner Perry often brings up also, is it talks about expanding recreational opportunities consistent with watershed protection, and I just think based on what you just said, it should be saying watershed and wildlife protection. So we don't want incompatible uses to be incompatible recreational uses up there if a main focus on those lands is fish and wildlife habitat and protection. But that's pretty minor. I get my bigger concern is going down that same page under elements in play, a snapshot in a very dynamic process, talking about how it might get funded over time. The Senate capital budget looks at overall general bonds, obligation bonds, and approval for the entire purchase, which sort of sets it up so that, you know, the big picture has been cemented. Looking at what this says and interpreting it, the governor and House budgets may contemplate multiple capital appropriations over a series of biennia. The concern I've got there is make sure that they're not counting that against the capital appropriations we'd be asking for our infrastructure and some of our other capital needs, and to have this large dollar item show up and say, well, we've given you this much money, therefore, you know, the other capital appropriation needs aren't going to be met as well, is a big concern for me over time. It's easy to have the spirit of this go forward for the first 2 years, maybe 4 years, but it's a multi-biennial process, and making sure that we have that sort of understanding with the legislature, who changes over time as far as membership. I'm not sure how we actually incorporate that that into a process that gets recognized over multiple years.
Commissioner Jennings, I think that's a concern that's shared by a number of folks in outside of the Yakima Basin Plan as well as inside. In either scenario, the $100 million in the Senate version is viewed by some as competing with things like WWRP, the Puget Sound cleanup, you know, other places where there's capital needs. And then there's the a similar concern over an extended time period if it's 45 million or, you know, whatever million over the next 10 years. And so I don't know that there's anything that we as an agency can do other than to, you know, listen and try to support ways to reduce those concerns of you know, a broad array of people. But that's an active discussion going on right now across the street.
Okay. Anything else? All right. We're ready for a motion. Commissioner Duvia.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I move that the Fish and Wildlife Commission delegate to the director the authority to enter into an agreement with private entities and government agencies to effectively effectuate the acquisition of the Tenaway conservation recreational lands.
Do I hear a second? The motion's been seconded by Commissioner Perry to delegate to the director the authority to enter into agreements with private entities and government agencies to effectuate acquisition of the Tenaway conservation recreation lands. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, who's going to present Commissioner Schmitten's blue sheet? Commissioner Mankin.
In his absence, Commissioner Schmitten has asked me to request a or submit a blue sheet, and the title of the blue sheet is Status of Washington Sockeye Salmon. We talked a little bit about this in the Fish Committee, and I think we're all on board for this. The priority level is, in terms of importance, is medium. The urgency is medium. The request due date is prior to the sockeye season opening, suggests the June Commission meeting. I don't think we in the Fish Committee were particularly locked into that. But that's Commissioner Schmitten's request. The action, the knowledge of the action that's being requested is recent robust runs of Upper Columbia River sockeye in parens Okanagan and Lake Wenatchee, in parens, and Baker Lake have demonstrated their value to the public, to the fishing community, and to the department. Yet other runs remain in low abundance with little or no harvest opportunity, for example, Lake Washington and Ozette. I request a general briefing on the status and trends, obstacles for recovery, including environmental factors that control abundance and survival in the marine environment of Washington, plus significant enhancement lessons learned from Canadian managers with regard to sockeye. In summary, looking for reasons for low sockeye runs and possible ways to reverse this trend, or conversely, why some runs are doing so well. The output requested is a commission briefing by the department or outside experts.
What was the last part about outside experts with?
It's the output requested is commission briefing by the department or by outside experts.
Or by outside, so it's optional. Okay, that's the motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Commissioner Duvia to approve Commissioner Schmitten's blue sheet request. Any discussion? Sounds reasonable. Commissioner Perry?
I'd like just to ask, it sounded like a lot of information that was being requested in a relatively short time frame. Is this a reasonable request?
Director Anderson?
Or would it take significantly more time to put that information together?
Well, Jim Scott was at the Fish Committee meeting where the blue sheet was discussed. I'm sure you would appreciate some latitude if it's needed to either on the timing and or the if there's a couple of increments of information that come over a span of a couple of meetings, perhaps. I don't know that, but I know that Jim was there and is aware of the blue sheet and appreciate that accommodation if needed.
Okay.
Commissioner Jennings?
I think part of the discussion at the committee was that part of the presentation we'll get will probably be pulled from earlier presentations the commission's received over the past several years. So the total amount of work may be less than it appears.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll be hearing from Frank Gurevich, I think, if we take up Lake Washington Sockeye, will we not? He's got an array of issues that we may want to consider. Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no. Blue sheet approved. Any other blue sheets?
No. Nope. It's a white sheet now.
White sheet. No, right. White sheets. Okay. That item is completed, and we can move into the executive session.
Stevens County thing here.
Oh, do you want to talk about the Stevens County?
I can.
Okay. There's one other item for the debrief.
I received a letter which I brought to the full commission and to the director, and it was presented to me as I left on Wednesday from Stevens County Commissioners, and it's a request for information from our wolf collaring activity. In essence, what they're requesting is that there be some kind of a formal structure from the department providing the caller information to the sheriff or the commissioners so they can disseminate that to relative cattle ranchers and other situations so that they can better prepare to react to incidences of wolf activity.
Commissioner Perry?
You're talking about not necessarily the number of wolves collared, when they're collared, and so forth. You're talking about the information derived from the collars to provide ability of, say, for instance, range riders to be most effective in the field.
I think what my interpretation of the letter is that they're concerned about having information that the department receives from collared wolves being brought back and available to the enforcement people and the cattle ranchers to enhance and protect them, their properties from wolf activity.
Very good.
And they're open to, if we got some needs for confidentiality or whatever, they're left it a little bit open for us to come up and devise a system, but they want it on a daily basis so that they can disseminate it to anybody that would be appropriately received. So,
Director Anderson, did you want to say something first, or you want us to keep talking? Commissioner Kinney?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I can understand where they're coming from, and I do believe from what I heard at the quad meeting, they're talking about actual location data. And the only question that comes to my mind is how far does it go? Once provided to anyone, then could anybody say, well, I also should get that data, whoever that is. And I don't really know. Maybe it's a question for Bill or something, the legal status of this data, which deals with typically an endangered species. What is the requirement? What is the law? Because even though it's a reasonable request, and if you think, well, they just kind of want to keep up on where wolf packs are and what they're doing and get that information out to people, it may open the door for it being totally open, and I don't know if the department is the wisest thing to do. I just don't know.
Commissioner Smith?
Following up on that, if it is totally open,
anyone would know exactly, or pretty darn close on a given day, where a wolf is, which could be, if one assumed the worst of human behavior, a very strong advantage if one did not want to see that wolf continue.
Particularly the dens.
Commissioner Menken?
Could they request it anyway through something like the federal, FOIA, public disclosure laws anyway? Freedom of Information Act.
I think there are some restrictions. We don't know. We're not really prepared to address those. I don't think anyone's done a legal analysis and could do that. Commissioner Jennings?
I do know, at least for things like spotted owl locations, that they will generalize it to a square mile or multi, a larger area than the point, so that it's not quite so clear. But my concerns are not so much a day-to-day activity, but if you look at that pattern, you do understand where the rendezvous sites are, where the den sites might be. And that's the type of information that I think can be easily abused. So I definitely appreciate the on both sides of this discussion, need to know so you can protect your resources, and how do we protect sensitive individuals.
Commissioner Perry?
I was going to say something similar. I think that information needs to get out to people that are at least providing the range rider function in order to make them most effective. And a rancher that runs on several thousand acres, it really doesn't do any good to send somebody out if they aren't in the right place. So I think we need to make them as effective as possible. And locations would say within a square mile or within a couple square miles is probably reasonable. Den sites, rendezvous sites, probably not, although if somebody follows the data, they probably could pick that up. The ranchers that I've worked with, the vast majority, almost all, are also wildlife enthusiasts, and it was brought up here recently that, well, they've just used that to go out and shoot the wolves. I don't think that's the case. They're busy enough and so forth. They would just as soon not deal with the wolves, and if you could make the range rider effective, maybe they won't have to. But as that going out and shooting wolves with that data isn't, I don't think, in the cards at all. But, some realistic protection for the wolves, for those who are, going to ignore the rules completely, is probably wise, but the information needs to go out.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just suspect that they've asked in a respectful manner to get this information. If we don't accommodate them, they might ask for it in another not quite so respectful manner.
Okay. Commissioner Dubia, respond to some of the comments.
Yeah, just some comments. One, that information is really what makes cowboys successful. So without this information, don't put any money in range riders, because it's very ineffective. And the successes we did have were the ones that were getting this information. So we proved it there. And even though we were giving this information to some people last year, rare did they see wolves. But they did put themselves, and probably their presence dispersed the pack from getting on the cattleman type situation. So, and as we've talked before, I think last year, of all the range riders I talked to, three of them saw wolves in the whole year. And most of those were at a glance as they were disappearing. So it's extremely difficult to shoot one of these animals in that country. If I wanted to find out where the den was for any of these, I could go find it within a day or two. You do it by howling. You just drive the roads, you howl, you do it a couple times. You have as good or better information than these, and the real diehard hunters do that. And for those of us who was up with McIrvin's, that's how he was providing some of his positioning, was he would howl through a plastic bottle to find out where they are located, and that would where he would enter his attention for the day. So, and that's where most of the guys are finding, if they want to go out and find out where they are, our biologists, our trappers, our camera people, and that's how they locate them. So the den sites may be a little bit of a problem. If it is, I think then we do something about it. But not to do this and give up the range rider program effectiveness is questionable. And we don't have to give this out like it's on a radio station. I mean, what I think we send it to maybe the sheriff and the counties, and have asked them for some discretion. I don't know what our full legal position is, if we have to simulate it or what. I don't think there's going to be very many inquiries about it, other than for cattlemen.
Director Anderson.
Well, I think the we have a, I don't know what the latest count is, but I think it was 17 plus agreements with livestock operators, and it's, while I don't have committed to memory the agreement, we want to be able to make available to them any information that will help them protect their livestock, including caller location information. And so we've been able to get some really good cooperation when we're working one-on-one with livestock operators for the most part. And that is our, that's what we did last year, that's what we'll be doing this year, only with a much larger number of livestock operators than last year. With the McIrvins, even last year, I mean, we were calling him sometimes at 5:30 in the morning, because that's when the download would come and letting him know where the animals were. And so where we have animals that are in the vicinity or close to the vicinity of where livestock operators have their animals, we want to make sure that they have that information. I don't want to try to get into the details about how we're providing that information, because I don't have enough knowledge of exactly how they're going to do that. But we've got a number. We've increased, of course, the staff that we have up in Northeast Washington for the specific purpose of trying to work closely with livestock operators to help minimize any adverse impacts that they have from having the wolves on the landscape up there. I think providing locations to the sheriff's office up there is something we're more than willing to work with Kendall on. And you know, I don't know about providing it to county commissioners. I'm not sure. I think what the benefit of that is, but I'd like to think about that a little bit more. I mean, if you're providing it to the law enforcement, where if they have a concern about public safety as a result of where they see wolves located, or they want to inform residents that, hey, we've got wolves in your particular area, I think that's a good thing to do. Again, informing livestock operators is a good thing to do. I don't know about county commissioners. I'm not sure how that, what benefit there is there, other than to satisfy their request. I haven't talked with AGs lately about the public disclosure request avenue of trying to get the information. And frankly, we're putting out, we're making maps of where we're seeing those collared wolves occur anyway, and we're happy to share that. now, whether we're going to be doing it on a daily basis with a whole bunch of people, that it's a nice to know but not need to know, that's where I think I want to try to figure out where that line is between those that are genuinely, would genuinely benefit by having the information versus those that would just kind of like to know on a daily basis. Compiling the information, whether maybe it's on a weekly basis or something like that, from packs where we've got callers on and putting that on our website or something like that is maybe another way of providing that more general information to just people who would like to know but not necessarily need to know. So those are just some initial thoughts.
Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. At one level, agencies share sensitive data with others all the time, and the way you do it is with the data sharing agreement, which is a legally binding contract that says, in many cases, this is sensitive data. You can't share it with other people, or you can only share it with agents that are working, you know. So there are mechanisms to do that, and trying to think out loud about ways to do this, it almost feels like it fits into a geographic information system sort of simple application where as the data points get loaded, get downloaded from the callers and put into the system, the map updates with the current dots and people can log into that website who have the password we've set or have a data sharing agreement with us, including appropriate ranchers, to see as of last night or as of the last time this caller was downloaded, here's where we know it. And we don't give a refresh that's showing the today's location or yesterday's location as opposed to the last 14 months of point movement. But that might be, you know, an easy way to make it available to anybody who we think is should have access to it.
Commissioner Duvia?
I did ask Phil when I saw the letter. I said, you really don't want it to come to the commissioners. You want it to go to the sheriff's thing. They said, yeah, that's what we're really trying to ask for. So I said, well, we might have to have some confidentiality on this. So yeah. You work on us with that. We can probably come up with something. And I think part of the idea when Donnie was at the Wolf Cattleman thing, he showed a new iPad that they're going to provide to certain people that would download all the information every day. Mm-hmm. So I think they kind of assumed that, well, we should have one master iPad at their sheriff's department that downloads that information so that we can get that. And what last week there was a couple of incidences where there was two or three wolves chasing cows through fences in new areas, and they were wondering if they could have done, one was on a dairy farm, and they were a little bit concerned about chasing milk cows.
Yeah.
Through barbed wire fences was not the most productive thing for everybody. So that kind of says, well, if we maybe had some information, maybe we could have avoided those kinds of things. Or
Okay,
well, the letter from Stevens County Commissioners was addressed to Director Anderson and members of the Fish and Wildlife Commission. Typically, when we get a letter like this, we send an immediate reply saying we received the letter, and then we ask staff to develop a draft reply for my signature or for staff's signature, because we can always refer our letters to staff for replies. But in this case, we definitely want to work together with the director, because this is a high visibility issue.
Yeah.
So we'll just work together to come up with a substantive reply.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks. Good discussion.